in a series called Experiencing God. By any chance, is anybody looking to experience God this morning?
Yes.
Did you come to church today thinking, I don't know. God, maybe show up, maybe not. Doesn't really matter to me. No, I hope you're looking to experience God. Turn to Acts chapter 3. And we are going to talk about a miracle. Belteshazzar, I'm thinking God wants to do a miracle in you.
Yes.
And you know what? You think God just wants to do a miracle in Belteshazzar? Or you think God's got more than just Belteshazzar in mind?
Yes. Yes.
Amen, amen, amen. Look at that. Look at this kid. Come running. That's what God wants from us. Come running. I am expecting great things from you this morning. Amen? I hope that's you. I pray that's you. I hope you come in here looking for something mighty from God. Acts chapter 3, verses 1 through 10. If you're ready, say amen.
Amen.
If you want to hear from God this morning, say amen.
Amen.
If you want to experience God this morning, say amen.
Amen.
All right, there's a man who experienced God. One day, Peter and John were going up to the temple at the time of prayer, 3 in the afternoon. Now, a man crippled from birth. Can anybody say that's a long time?
Yeah.
Amen, that is a long time. That's all the time this guy knew. Amen? Crippled from birth. That's all my time. That is all I have known. Larry was blinded on the first day of his life. It is all that he has known. An accident in the hospital. All he has known. This man, crippled from birth, was being carried to the temple gate called Beautiful, where he was put every day to beg. He was a professional beggar. He begged from those who were going into the temple courts. And when he saw Peter and John about to enter, he asked them for money. Peter and John, do you got any cash you could throw my way? Passed a guy on University Avenue, I want to say Friday night, had a sign, why lie? I need a beer. Every day, begging. He saw Peter and John, asked them for money. Peter looked straight at him, as did John, and Peter said, look at us. So the man gave them his attention, expecting to get something from them. And Peter said, silver or gold I do not have. Silver or gold I do not have, but what I have I give to you in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Walk. And take him by the right hand, he helping him up. Instantly the man's feet and ankles became strong. He jumped to his feet and began to walk. And then he went with them into the temple courts, just like this little kid come running down this aisle, walking and jumping and praising God. Amen?
Amen.
And when all the people saw him walking and praising God, they recognized him. Isn't this the beggar? Isn't this the cripple? And he wasn't going to be begging anymore. Can I get a witness on that? And he wasn't going to be crippled anymore. Can I get a witness on that? Why? Because he was experiencing the power of God in his life. And you come in here today. Perhaps you are crippled in your life. I hope you come in here longing to experience the power of God. Longing to experience the plan of God. Longing to line your life up on him. So that you might truly be transformed.
Amen.
Amen?
Amen?
Lord, we pray this morning, Lord, a blessing to your word, a blessing to our time together, Lord. I pray, Lord, a hunger and a thirst for righteousness, but a hunger and a thirst to experience you, God, to draw near and to let the crud of our lives fade away. That we wouldn't grab onto it anymore, but we would cast it off and find a new way to go. We give you praise in Jesus' name. And everyone said? Amen. I hope you want to hear about God. I'm going to talk to you about God. We've been doing these projects at my house. I got grease on my hands and all that kind of stuff. And we just talked about a guy getting healed. I won't make too big of a jump for you here, okay? Okay, Pastor. Roll with me on this, okay? But, Joe has been wrenching on all these cars, and he got this Carmen Ghia we're working on, and he's saying, Dad, what I really want is a muscle car. And he says, more than that, Dad, I want to know everything about that car. I want to know how to take that motor apart and put it together. I'm looking for a muscle car. So we're looking at muscle cars. And I don't know if you looked at muscle cars lately, but muscle cars are not cheap. Muscle cars cost some money, and I'm looking through, and he's saying, Dad, I don't just want a muscle car. What I really want, Dad, is is I want a bench seat. I'm like, Joe, come on, man. I mean, bucket seats are where it's at. I mean, bucket seats were the upgrade. He goes, Dad, I want a bucket seat, man. I want bench seats. Okay, man. You know, take a look. And he's saying, you know, we're driving along, we see this 67 Chevelle. Oh, my, I jumped out and started taking pictures of that thing. And he says, Dad, I want light interior. Because I don't want to be all hot in my car, you know. I want to have light interior. And so we're looking, and I'm looking, and I see on Craigslist up in Fallbrook, 1963, Oldsmobile Super 88. That is the car, but that ain't the car, if you know what I mean. And I called the guy. I mean, that's a nice looking rig, though, isn't it? It would look good on you, wouldn't it, Mike? You could fit in that car. So anyway, I called the guy up, and it was a bargain price. And he says, oh, there's a guy that's supposed to be coming up in the morning to get it. And he's talking about trading and doing all this kind of stuff. Guy's an old, kind of interesting dude. Talking about these 22 rifles. I had this 1920. He's getting all excited about this 22 rifle I have from my grandpa. And I hang up, and Joe goes, what did he say, Dad? What did he say? I said, there's a guy coming in the morning. Oh, it's going to be gone because of the cheap price. It's going to be gone, Dad. Oh, I said, hey, Lord wants you to have it. You'll have it.
That's right. Amen.
You know, we can relax in that. Oh, he's wound up, man. He's working on his driver's license test, and he's doing all this stuff. Dad, did he call? Did he call? So it's food distribution. I'm getting ready to pull up with the food, and I call the guy. Hey, guy, show. He goes, no, and in fact, he's 30 minutes late. Really? I said, okay, man, I'll tell you what, I'll be up for 45 minutes, and I'll call you back and grab my son. He's all excited and do the food and pulling up in front of the house, and I'm talking to the guy. The guy still hasn't showed up yet. Joe looks at me, are you talking to the guy? I said, I'm talking to the guy. So we're rolling up to Fallbrook, and he's got his test that he's doing for his thing, and he's talking, he's all excited. You know, we show up. And there's a little bit of rust on that hood, and a little bit of rust on the bottom of the door. So I'll probably talk to Eddie about that a little bit. And the interior is mint. Every knob, everything, well, not mint, but it is glorious. And that front seat, whole inside is cream colored. And that front seat is a big old long bench. Says, is this what you're looking for, Joe? Oh, Dad, this is what I'm looking for. So many of us are looking for stuff in our lives. And we try to make our own way. And we break it along the way. We mess it up along the way. But as we take a look at this healing, and we look at Acts chapter 3, we're going to spend our time in Acts chapter 4 today, and next week, Acts chapter 5. We are looking at the disciples, Peter and John by name, and other folks that are lining their lives up on God, that are experiencing the power of God in their lives. And something as simple as cream-colored interior with a bench seat is not too hard for God. Raising Balthazar out of that chair is not too hard for God. Amen. Putting new eyes in Larry's head is not too hard for God. Amen? Amen? But God is looking for people who will line up on him that he might display his power in their lives. Amen? 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 Can I get a witness on that? Now, we talked about that last week. Last week I preached all the way through the whole book of Romans. Were you blessed?
Yes.
Yes, you were blessed. Put your hand up if you were blessed. All right, I brought a list last week of things that you might be working on, things that you need to work on to line up on God. And the list was wickedness, evil, greed, envy, murder. This is Romans chapter 1. I didn't make it up. Can I get a witness on that, please? Amen. This is the word of God. Wickedness, evil, greed, envy, murder, strife, deceit, malice, gossip, slander. Have you got any of these things? Insolence, arrogance, boasting, a lack of sense. A lack of faith and a lack of heart. God spoke to many of you last week, said, you've got to work on some of this stuff. Can I get a witness?
Amen.
My question is, what did you do this week? How much effort did you put in on the list? Because sadly, God spoke to some of your hearts last week and you did nothing. And that is a display of your values. God is just not that important to me. Lining up on God is not that important to me, and experiencing God is just not that important to me. Some of you, and I've talked to you, are contemplating radical change in your life. God-sized change in your life, that if you are going to affect this change, you will have to line yourself up on God, and you will have to experience the power of God in your lives.
Amen.
Now, if you're going to experience that power from God, you're going to have to line yourself up on God, because that's how it works. Amen?
Amen?
We're in a series called Lining Up on God. And today's message is titled, Experiencing God. And they go hand in hand. What choices did you make last week? What are your values? What's your focus? These disciples' focus was God. They walked around talking about Him. They walked around working for Him. They were transformed by the power of God, because when you see the power of God, you will be changed.
Amen.
And when you experience the power of God, you will be changed.
Amen.
We're going to talk about experiencing God. Amen. All right. Amen? Thank you.
Amen.
You're going to line up on God, you're going to run into some obstacles. These disciples ran into some obstacles in their lives. They ran into the group of the ruling Jews, kind of like the Jewish mafia. All right? It says, the priest and the captain of the temple guard, the Sadducees, came up to Peter and John, and while they were speaking to the people, they were greatly disturbed because the apostles were teaching the people and proclaiming in Jesus the resurrection of the dead. And they seized Peter and John, and because it was evening, they put them in jail. Jailed for Jesus. Disciples are working it out. This is the direct aftermath. This is right after this guy gets healed. This is right after this guy's legs become strong and they start jumping and screaming and yelling and all this good stuff starts happening, right? And they go out and they start, let me tell you about Jesus. Let me tell you about this miracle. Let me tell you how you can experience this power in your life. And people begin to believe. And in fact, 5,000 people believed that day and were added to their number. They were telling people about the power of God and the plan of God. Do you want to know the plan of God? Do you want to know the power of God? Because when God speaks to your heart and shows you an avenue that you might take in your life, He's going to give you the power to walk through it. Amen? And as you experience that power, you know what's going to happen? You are going to want more. Help me now. Come on. Have you experienced the power of God? Say, hey, this is pretty good. Amen?
Amen?
What do you think Joe felt when he saw that bench seat? Could have been any color. Oh, just an accident. Oh, just good luck. Just lucked out. Hey, you can walk through life lucking out, or you can walk through life lined up on Jesus. Amen? You get lined up on Jesus, you are going to experience His power. Now, there's a cost. They experience the plan of God. They experience the power of God. They're experiencing God working in them and through them. And where do they spend the night? In jail. And there are those around us that say, oh, God, He just wants you to be blessed. God wants you to have money. Amazingly, Peter and John said, we don't got no cash, but we can heal your life. Now, which one are you going to want? See, there's a lot of people that will settle for the cash today. Amen? There's a lot of people say, well, I'll serve God just so long as it doesn't really inconvenience me. Don't ask me to spend a night in jail. Aaron was talking. Weren't you blessed by all the men and women that minister in this place, by the way? Aaron was saying, hey, they were in jail. They had been flogged. That means that they had been whipped so that chunks of flesh are hanging off their back, so that oftentimes when Jesus was flogged, most likely internal organs were displayed. And not quite convenient, amen?
Amen.
But Jesus says, I'm not about your convenience. He says, in fact, if you're going to follow me, what do you got to do? You got to pick up your cross monthly. No. Weekly. Some people read that and say, W-E-A-K-L-Y. Oh, I'm kind of weak. No, daily. Every day you pick that thing up and you follow me and you are looking for ways to what? Sacrifice. You're going to line up on God. You're going to experience God. There is going to be a cost. My question is, what did you do this week? Because we had the list. Oh, I didn't get around to it, Pastor. It's okay. But that's a display of your values. Some of you are right up against challenges in your life. And you've been up against the same challenge since the very first day you walked in this place. Why? Because you get fired up, you come in here, sit down, God speaks to your heart, and you walk out, and you forget the message, and you forget to do anything, and you come back in here, and you go, oh, yeah, hey, speak to me today, God. I want to experience you and line up on you. I want to know the power of your name. Oh, but don't ask me to be inconvenienced. There's a cost. Help me now. All right, here we go. Disciples are working out. Disciples experience opposition. Working it out, opposition. You start working it out, guess what? You go out of here today and say, it's not going to be like last week. It's going to be different. I'm going to line up on God. I'm going to experience God. Guess what? You're going to run into the first thing, opposition. Amen? All right, Jewish mafia. They had Peter and John brought before them, began to question them. By what power, what name did you do this? And then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them, rulers and elders of the people, if we are being called on account today for an act of kindness, are you really arresting us for an act of kindness? He says, oh no, it's that message you're bringing with that act of kindness we're arresting you for, young man. He says, then know this, you and all the people of Israel, it is by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, but whom God raised from the dead, that this man stands before you healed. They're working it out, and they're not pulling back. When you run into opposition, do you pull back, or you work it out? You press through. You find the power of God. Because if you're bringing the message of Jesus, it is going to be a threat for all those around you. Amen? Bible says that the message of the gospel is a stumbling block. That it is hard. It will make you stumble. It will make you climb. It will make you work. It will create effort, the need of effort in your life to be able to press through stuff. Amen? Some of you come in here today and you are looking for a miracle. You are asking God for a miracle. Oh, God, help me. I am so messed up. And he says, you're messed up because you're stumbling. I'm not going to heal you from your stumbling because you're stumbling over my message. He says, pick up your feet. He says, start to climb. He says, start to walk. Start to be obedient. Gave you a list of 20 things. Did you work on any of them? See, some of us are stumbling because we're not working. Amen? Some of us are stumbling because we don't want to put in the effort. The Jews were looking at these guys and they were blown away. They saw the courage of Peter and realized that they were unschooled, ordinary men. Look at Peter and John. Who are these guys? These are just, they got no training. They got no nothing. They got 5,000 people following them. Unschooled, ordinary man. You might be sitting here today, oh yeah, all this God plan and God power and all that kind of stuff. He can't work through me. Why? Because he'll work through ordinary men. He'll work through ordinary women. He'll work through unschooled people. I never went to school. He worked through Peter and John. He worked through ordinary people. He'll work through you.
That's right.
You got to line up on him. Line up on him. You experience his power. Been talking about our projects. My project right there. Don't look like much. Got dust all over it. It's Bondo. Leanne's a Bondo girl. Mike came over and helped her a little bit the other day. We had to move it off the grass so we could move the busted up Carmen Ghia up on the grass. And see, it's got blocks on there because you don't want to roll it into the street and all that kind of stuff. And Joe and I, you know, we're going to go for a little ride, and got in that baby and started it up, and it ran for about 1 minute and stopped. And I went, oh, I got enough to do. I don't have to fix this thing. So I go, Joe, you know, I had him put the fuel filters hang a little low. I said, put that fuel filter up there and do this and da-da-da-da-da. I said, check that fuel filter, man, and make sure you didn't kink that hose. You didn't kink that hose, did you, Joe? No, I didn't kink that hose. We got underneath that thing. He said, Dad, the hose is kinked. The fuel, I mean, there ain't no gas. No gas, no power. No power, that thing's not going to start. I said, Joe, cut that tie wrap off and straighten that kink out. He goes, try it, Dad. Nee, 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 nee. That's a lot like our lives. See, when you're not lined up on God, there's a kink in your life, like that list of things that I gave you, gossip, and slander, and bitterness, angry, deceit, all that stuff. It's like a kink in your life, and the power of God ain't coming through. And as you line up on God, that hose straightens right out, and the power of God will flow into your life.
Amen.
And you will begin to see transformation. Amen? Amen. Are we good?
Amen.
Are we tracking?
Yes.
Say, hey, might be a little bit long today. Watch out now. All right, here we go. Disciples take a risk. Disciples take a risk. See, when you're going to follow God, you're going to have choices that you're going to make. You're going to put a value to the things that are before you and say, I'm going to do it or I'm not. And the big question is, what's your answer to God this week? Pastor Scott did a sermon on obedience a couple weeks back, and are you telling God? Are you telling yes? Are you telling him no? It says, they called them in again and commanded them not to speak or teach at all in the name of Jesus. Said, look, we'll let you guys go. You spent the night in jail. We'll let you go, but you got to shut up. But Peter and John replied, judge for yourselves whether it's right in God's sight to obey you rather than God. Say, hey, you guys are religious leaders. We're going to listen to you. We're going to listen to God because you're telling us something different than what God told us. You let us know. What would you do? It says, but we cannot help speaking about what we have seen and heard. We're not going to shut up. We're going to continue on bringing the message of salvation and power and healing in the name of Jesus. Amen? Why? See, because this is the same group that crucified Jesus. They could affect some radical pain on Peter and John. They said, you know what? We've seen the power of God revealed. We have experienced the power of God revealed. And we're going to choose to line up on him rather than line up on you. And when you experience God in a real way, you can make that same choice. But until you do, now it might be something little, like a white bench seat. Because God will start you off small to get you moving. Can I get a witness on that? God will give you what you can handle. But as you see that and you grab onto that and you own that, you say, God, just like them, we want more. We're going to be lined up on you. We're going to find more. Want to do more. When you line up on God, you will experience his power. And some of you are thinking, I don't really need it. Not really a threat to me. Why? Because you're not telling anybody about Jesus anyway. Less than 5% of all Christians ever lead somebody to Christ. You might not have opposition because you're not accomplishing anything. You're not doing anything. You're not doing anything. Devil don't care about you. But if you're getting busy for Jesus, he says, you're going to receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you're going to be my witnesses. Who are you telling? What message do you have? Have you experienced the power of God? I got to think If God gave Larry new eyes right now, he might tell a couple of people.
Amen.
I got to think that if God healed Belteshazzar right now, he would tell a few people. And many of you have been healed by God, have been given new sight by God, have been set free from sin by God, and you're not telling anyone. And because you're not telling anyone, you're not receiving much. There's a kink in your life, and there's no power that's coming through. You line up on God, you will experience the power of God.
Amen?
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord. All right. Prayed with somebody this morning about challenges. Your challenges are opportunities to line up on God. The challenges that you face. Who is sitting here today and does not have one challenge? I got no challenges in my life. No challenges? Not one?
Not when I'm lined up with the Lord.
Oh, hallelujah, that's good. See, but, all right, well, that's good, that's good. That's a good choice, girl. Well, we'll get back on that one. On their release, Peter and John went back to their own people and reported, said, man, they're trying to close us down. And reported all that the chief priests and elders had said to them, and when they had heard this, they raised their voices together in prayer to God. And what did they pray? Oh, God, take away these Jews! Oh, God, there's opposition! Just wipe them off the face of the planet! Not what they prayed. They said, Sovereign Lord, you made the heaven and the earth and the sea and everything in them. You spoke by the Holy Spirit through the mouth of your servant, our father David. Why do the nations rage and the peoples plot in vain? The kings of the earth take their stand against the rulers, gather together against the Lord and against his anointed one. Man, there's so much opposition. Jesus says you should expect it. Jesus said, no servant is greater than his master. If they persecuted me, did they persecute Jesus, by the way? Yes. Pastor Scott, thank you for that communion this morning. Those emblems are a display of the persecution of Jesus, his body and blood that was shed for you and for your sins. Did they persecute Jesus? Yes. Amen. He says, if they persecuted me, they're going to persecute you too. See, if you're working the plan of God, you are to expect opposition. You are to expect those who would come after you. Amen? Peter and John, they were getting used to it. Jesus said, there's going to be people that are going to be standing in your way. But he says, I'll build my church. He says, when they stand against you, I'm right there with you. I'll never leave you, and I'll never forsake you. In the midst of your challenge, it is an opportunity to draw near to God. They run into opposition, and they come running back to Jesus. Amen? I don't know what situation you're in, but right now, you're in something where you need the power of God to get through. Amen? Lisa's been out of town. And been trying to make it through. When she left on Tuesday, you know, and Leanne's got stuff going on. She's got her little car, and she's doing her thing, and Ken and we're doing a team, getting all this stuff done. But I'm noticing something peculiar. Like on Wednesday, she came to sing, and I'm looking for her car. I don't see her car. And I walk in, and I go, what? She's late. I told her not to be late, you know. And here she is up here singing. I said, where's your car? And she said, I took Mom's car. I said, Mom's got the minivan. I don't know. When I was 17, last thing I wanted to do was be driving around in a minivan or a station wagon. We didn't have minivans back then. We had station wagons. You know? Yeah, Mom, can I get those, man? You know, big old barge. And no. That's not what I'm looking for. Actually, my mom did not have a station wagon. She had an old 88 diesel four-door. Oh, yeah. Go cruising in the diesel. Yeah. I wasn't looking for that. You know why Leanne's running around in her mom's car? Free gas. She don't want to pay the price to drive around in her car. That's what we all do. See, rather than pay the price, we want to see if we can live our lives for free. We want to live our lives with the minimum amount of expenditure. And so we'll look for free rides. We'll look for free gas because we don't want to do what? We don't want to take a risk. We don't want to have to rely upon God. So you can rely upon yourself or rely upon God. Most of us kind of want to just kind of shoot right in the middle. Help me out, God, a little bit. I'll take it. Free gas, I'll take it. But I don't want to spend a night in jail. I don't want to be inconvenienced for the gospel. I don't want to be tired. I don't want to be hot. I don't want to be sweaty. Just hook me up. Make sense? Make sense? One thing we're doing is sweating at my house. Vacation. I remember vacation when I was 7 years old. My mom sent me up to my uncle's ranch to work. When I was 8, when I was 9, when I was 10, when I was 11, my dad put me on the farm down there in Los Banos. Oh, yeah. That means the toilet. Oh, yeah. Los Banos, man. I was spraying weeds. That was glorious. 12, 13, 14, I worked every summer, every vacation. And my dad would schedule it, so the first day of vacation, I would go to work, and the last day of vacation, I would stop work. So guess what we're doing in my house? We're working. And guess what we did when Lisa was gone? Oh, we worked even more because she wasn't there to kind of undermine the whole work process. Because it's a struggle. Guess what? You get sweaty. You get hot. You get frustrated. But you learn how to work. I'll tell you what, too many of our kids don't know how to work these days. Amen? Lynn, she's starting to be the Bondo queen. Oh, she don't want nothing to do. I hate Bondo, Dad. I hate Bondo. I'm getting a headache from the fumes. Oh, just come on, power through. Come on, let's go. Mike's showing her how to use his big old sander. It's heavy. I don't know. You know what? She's getting pretty good at it now. Just go out there and just say, I need to do this, do this, do this. Joe, I said, oh, man, the clutch is messed up on this. Pull it out. We got to check it. Where's it at? What do you call it? Looking in the book now. He's not saying, I can't read the book anymore. And whenever they run into a problem, they come running up to me. Dad, what do I do? I don't know, you know. But we work through it together. And they get better, and I get better. And that's what God has with our challenges. All right, we go through challenges, and just like these guys, they come running back to God. Oh, man, we got opposition. He goes, that's okay. You're supposed to expect it, and you're supposed to come running back to me. Good choice, because every time you run through a challenge and every time you go running back to God, you learn more about him, and you learn more about yourself. Amen? All right. I think I'm on track. Are we okay? I'm a little long, I think. It's all right. Who said that, Charles? All right. You're not ducking this week, are you? That's good. All right. See, now Charles in the back. He's speaking for everybody, so that means we're okay. All right. Here we go. Getting toward the end of chapter 4, 29 through 31 says, now the Lord, consider their threats. They're still in the middle of this prayer. Lord, consider their threats. Lord, take them away. Protect us. No. And enable your servants to speak your word with great boldness. Lord, they're going to attack us. They're going to arrest us. Give us more power. Never once they say, keep us out of jail. Help us, Lord, be effective. Stretch out your hand to heal and perform more miraculous miracles. Lord, we want to do something radical in Jerusalem that will transform history. And after they prayed, the place where they were meeting was shaken. Oh, I would love for this building to be shaken. I would love for our souls to be shaken. It says they were filled. They were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and they spoke the word of God boldly. Not only did they not succumb to the wishes of the Jews, they came out of that place more fired up. And there was more of them, everybody in there, lit by the Lord. Amen. Peter and John had already been filled with the Holy Spirit on the day of Pentecost. They got filled again. And if you've been filled with the Holy Spirit, it's not a one-time event. Paul says, get filled and keep on getting filled.
That's right.
Look for that power and get more power. I don't know what you got, but you can get more. I don't know what you're up against. God will take you through. And as you go through every obstacle and every challenge in your life, you will learn more about yourself and you'll learn more about God. Be lined up on Him and you will experience the power of God. Disciples move through their obstacles. Line up on God. See, so many of us, we think God's got us down here just to identify the evil. Oh, there's some. It's like my wife. There's a spider. Go kill it. We think that's what God's job is. There's one. Get him. No, no, no. Jesus said, I've given you authority to trample on snakes and scorpions and to overcome all the power of the enemy. Nothing will harm you. He says, man, you see one, go get it. You got an issue in your life? Don't come crying to me. Deal with it. I'll empower you. I'll be there right with you. But just don't ask me to take it away. It's there that you might be equipped and empowered by me to overcome every obstacle in your life. Amen? Are we okay? Some of you guys are kind of looking glassy-eyed. I'm going to move on. Life is different when you're lined up on the Lord. These guys experience God in a mighty way. The house is shaken. They are filled with the Holy Spirit. And they are lit for the Lord. Then they are going out and having an impact and making a difference. And guess what? The choices that they start making are different. It says, all the believers were in one heart and one mind. No one claimed that any of his possessions was his own, but they shared everything that they had. With great power, the apostles continued to testify to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and much grace was upon them all. Easy to line up on the power of God. When you see it, you're going to want more. Peter and John started off by healing a cripple. 5,000 people get saved. They run into opposition and they ask God for more. Oh, Lord, we're not giving up on you, Lord. My question is, what did you do last week? How hard did you work on the list? See, the more you experience God, the more you're going to want to experience God. But if you're not getting much and you're fine with not experiencing Him, you probably didn't do much last week. But when you come into the power of God, you will be transformed. When you step into the plan of God, you will be transformed. And you'll need His power to get it done. And here we see the change. Changes in their choices. People shared everything they did. How could they do that? They'd be poor. I'll tell you what, folks. When you've got the creator of the universe on your side, or if you're on the creator of the universe's side and you got His power and His provision lining you up, how are you going to be poor? You might not have everything you're looking for, but you'll have everything you need. Amen?
Amen.
We went up to get that Super 8, actually go look at the Super 88, the Oldsmobile 63 for Joe. And this old dude, you know, he's talking about it, and he's going, it hasn't been registered since 1987. And he goes, but you can, and I told him I was a minister, I was going to go do the food, right? And he goes, well, I can tell you how you can register this, but you got to tell a lie. And he says, now I'm a heathen, and you said you're a minister. And I said, okay, well, we'll talk about that when I get up there. We're going to see what it is, right? So we're getting up here, and Joe's saying, oh, Dad, this is the one I want. Da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. And he goes, well, then just got to tell one lie because it's not in their system. All you got to do is just say that you've had this car for years and years and years. And I was looking up on the DMV. They got a site on my phone. You can look up the fees. It costs $95 to transfer that car. And he says, you can do it for $28. You just have to say that one lie. And I said, you know what? It's more important for me to line up on the Lord than to lie and get this car. Because God done provided this car. And I tell you what, I said, I can register this car. You want me to lie and put a kink in my life for $67? And you think, how stupid would that be to put a kink in your life for $67? But what if it was $600? What if it was $670? Ooh, maybe a little kink. Maybe $6,700. Oh, I'd put a kink in my life for $60. What are you kinking your life for? What is your value system? How much is worth getting off sync with God? Some of you have been looking at the same challenge since the day you walked in this church. You have not affected one change. Your life is kinked and you don't care. You don't care enough to make a change. And every week I stand up here, or Pastor Scott stands up here, or Pastor Paul stands up here, or Pastor Dave stands up here and says, there's a change. There is power. You can experience the power of God if you would line up on Him and you say, I don't want to be inconvenienced. Not worth it. Some of you are saying, $67, I'd lie. Ain't no thing to me. And that's the problem. We're doing this series called Lining Up on God. Ann, you want to come up here and go to that keyboard? Make sure your mic's hot there, Mike. We're doing a series called Lining Up on God so that you can experience God in your life. I love your hand going up, Belinda, saying, I am lined up on Jesus, and I am seeing a change in my life. Many of you are taking and are planning to take some incredibly challenging steps in your life, and I encourage you. I just pray this power, Lord, embolden me, Lord. Embolden me, Lord, to find your strength and your truth and your power and to line up on your plan that I can make a step in my life. Because I don't want to be here anymore. I want to have some new challenges. I want to have a shower like Aaron's shower. Whoa, like Aaron's shower. I want to have a place where I can meet with God. I want to have a place where I can experience God. All you got to do is line up on Him. He will meet you. Amen? We got that list. Did you work the list? What's your choices? What's your values? You just go ahead and start playing a little something there for me, yeah? See, maybe you are, turn that down a little bit there, Mike. The keyboard, bro. The keyboard, turn it down. The top. Ah, yes. Challenges. You going to move through them? You're going to run away. Something as simple as a little distraction, almost falling down. God, I don't want to be the same anymore. God, I don't want to fight the same battles. Lord, I want to be new. I want to be different. I want to be transformed, Lord. I'm afraid of sweat. I'm afraid of inconvenience. I'm afraid of harm. I'm afraid of loss. And there paralyzes me in my life, Lord. And I don't want to be like that anymore. I don't know what you're up against, but whatever it is, it can draw you closer to God. It can line you up closer to His plans for your life. It can take you a step closer for His plan for your life, and you can begin to experience His power. And some of you are in here this morning, and you have incredible challenges that are coming against you right now. That you've had incredible challenges for a while. Now that's you this morning. Just as the disciples and Peter and John prayed in that room, you right now are thinking, I have got such opposition in my life. I've been dealing with it for too long on my own, Lord. I want to line up on you. I want to experience your power. I want to be transformed. And right now, the Lord is speaking to your heart. He is saying, this is for you. You have been shackled, and it's time to be transformed. if that's you, just right where you're at, I want you to begin to pray. Just like those disciples prayed, embolden me. Embolden me, Lord. Embolden me, Lord. Give me power to pass through this challenge. Power to stand. In fact, if you pray in that prayer, I want you to just stand right where you're at. I just want you to just put your hands up and say, Lord, here I am, Lord. I have got some challenges in my life. I just want you to stand. You're praying that prayer. Stand right now. I'm hoping there's more than no one praying that prayer. There you go. Hallelujah. Just put your hands up right there, right where you're at. Say, Lord, embolden me. Embolden me right now, Lord Jesus. Come, Lord. Let me know that I am not alone. Let me know, Lord, that I can pass through the challenges that beset me, Lord, the opposition that has arrayed itself in front of me. It might be you need a job. It might mean you need a place. It might mean a myriad of things. You might be looking at arrest. You might be looking at conviction. You might be looking at something and say, Lord, I've made some poor choices in the past, but Lord, I want to line my life up on you, Lord, and maybe I got to go to jail. Maybe I ain't going to have no car. Maybe I'm not going to have a place. Maybe I won't have a job. Maybe I'm not going to eat the food that I want to eat, but Lord, I want to line my life up on you, and I want to experience you. That's you this morning. Just raise your hands up and say, oh, Lord, I'll sweat for you. Oh, Lord, I'll be inconvenienced for you. Oh, Lord, line me up on your plan, Lord. I will step out in faith for you, Lord. I don't want to be the way I am anymore. I want to be transformed and be renewed in my mind and be renewed in my spirit, Lord. I want to experience your power. I won't be like a crying kid anymore. Lord, I want to celebrate your power. And I'm tired of the opposition. There's people all over this place. Hallelujah. Lord Jesus, I just pray, Lord Holy Spirit, just that you are here right now ministering, empowering, and equipping, Lord. I pray supernatural knowledge, supernatural understanding of the opposition, of the challenges, Lord, that we might be empowered to step out in faith and align ourselves up on you. Hallelujah. Would you sing what you're going to sing there, Anne? And as she sings, you can join her, or you can just continue that prayer. If you want to come and kneel, I'll pray with you. But we're going to just spend a minute, and Anne's going to sing this song, and God's going to meet us. Amen? Glory to God. Hallelujah. Thank you.